Yes, we have had messages about how serious is our walk with the Lord, how strong is our commitment to Him, warnings against lukewarm Christianity, which is going on all over this nation, unfortunately. Is our all on the altar of sacrifice? Are we hungry and thirsty for the Lord or more of Him? Some of these messages may seem hard to follow. We ask the Lord for grace to follow what He teaches us. But if we seriously study the life, the character and personality of Jesus, His heart, all that He is, and all that He means to us, we would be more willing to be committed and consecrated to Him. We would be hungry and thirsty for Him, or more of Him, in our lives. This morning I would like to speak about someone who studied Jesus intently. It is believed that he became a follower of Christ and even died as a martyr. I'm going to read to you Mark chapter 15 and verse 39, if you would like to open up to it. Mark chapter 15 and verse 39, I'll give you a moment. Mark chapter 15 and verse 39. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." The centurion who supervised the crucifixion looked and saw a man who was severely beaten almost to death, contorting in agony on the cross for 6 hours, awfully disfigured, blood all over his swollen face and beaten body. How did he know that the man in this condition was the Son of God? This centurion was watching and studying Jesus during the crucifixion. He was taken in how Jesus accepted all the excruciating pain and suffering to the point of refusing an anesthetic. Think of how quickly you run to the medicine cabinet for a toothache and all the suffering and torture and agony that Jesus was in, and he refused the anesthetic. How could he acknowledge that Jesus was the Son of God without intently watching and studying him? The centurion studied Jesus to the point of acknowledging who he was and then accepting him into his life. A person cannot genuinely, truly meet Jesus and remain the same. It's impossible. No one can genuinely come in contact with Jesus and really get to know him and then remain the same. His character, his personality, his presence is so overwhelming and beyond description that it causes a life-changing experience. What else did the centurion see when he looked at Jesus on the cross? What did he see when he looked into and studied Jesus' face, his eyes? He had supervised other executions, but never met a man like Jesus. He saw enduring love, which was previously unknown to him. He saw a matchless, forgiving spirit. He saw an innocence that was never seen before. What are some of the words that the centurion heard from the foot of the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Who would pray this prayer for men who are hammering big, dirty, wrought iron nails into you? unheard of. But Jesus prayed for their forgiveness. The centurion heard this. We have a hard time forgiving even the small offense. This was part of our discussion last night in our group meeting. The centurion heard, "Today you will be with me in paradise." This was Jesus' response to the thief who asked Jesus to remember him. Who could welcome someone to paradise unless you are a God? Luke 23:46, "And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.'" Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Let's stop here for a minute. After the scourging, which was a near-death beating, a six-hour crucifixion, intense bleeding and dehydration, unknown pain and suffering, how could someone cry out with a loud voice? This had to be a supernatural cry. The centurion heard this and probably wondered how a man in this condition who could cry out with a loud voice. The centurion at the foot of the cross observed all this going on. Matthew 27:45-46 read, "Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Matthew 27:51. "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split." The centurion saw creation react to this man's death. He saw all this. The centurion heard and saw all these events as he studied and contemplated Jesus. In the book, The Son of Man is written, he then, Brother Petrelli wrote in this book, that in his heart, the centurion knew that no one died the way Jesus did. He supervised many crucifixions, but he knew something was different about this man. No one died the way this man Jesus is dying. The centurion recognized and accepted Jesus as Son of God. Jesus, though despised, mocked, beaten, crucified, bloody, his face and body marred more than any man, still had a life-changing effect on this man. Think of what Jesus looked like. He was scourged. He was beaten. Blood coming down his head from the crown of thorns. Blood all over his face from the crown of thorns. He was beaten. They pulled his beard out. You can imagine the blood that was running down his face. He was disfigured, as it says in Isaiah, more than any man. Blood dripping out of him from the nails that were in him. And he still had a life-changing effect on this centurion. It's because of who Jesus is. And this man, this centurion, saw Jesus in this condition and yet saying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Today you will be with me in paradise." He saw love, enduring love in Jesus' eyes. He knew no one ever died like Jesus did. He saw all this from a bloody, tortured, beaten man and recognized this must be the Son of God. Jesus still has a life-changing effect on this centurion. If you want change in your life, Jesus can do it, but you have to want the change. It is believed that this centurion named Longinus became a devoted follower of Christ, that he preached about him and died a martyr's death. Now, in past messages, let's see a comparison now. In past messages, we spoke about Pilate and his experience with Jesus during his trial. Pilate studied Jesus during his trial, but not to the extent in depth that the centurion studied Jesus. To what depth are we studying Jesus this morning? One of the conclusions of Pilate's encounter with Jesus was, what will you do with Jesus? He should have asked himself that question. What will you do? What will I do with Jesus? If he seriously asked himself that question, he never would have delivered him to be crucified. But Pilate only allowed himself a limited knowledge of Jesus and said he let him be crucified. He asked questions like, are you a king? And where are you from? But he never let his heart and soul dig deep into who Jesus is. The centurion studied Jesus intently, listened to his words, his forgiving heart, watched his actions on the cross, how he endured extreme, awful suffering, and then acknowledged that he must be the Son of God. He watched all this, the torture that Jesus went through. Since when did you hear someone who put nails in your body, put a crown of thorns on your head, big thorns, not little thorns on rose bushes, big thorns. They beat you almost to death. And you're looking down at these people hanging on a cross with intense suffering. Now think, every time he went to go take a breath, he had to grind his beaten back from the scourging against the dirty bark of a tree. His arteries already popped open, spurting blood. So all the dirt from the bark of the tree got in Jesus' bloodstream and caused a high fever, I'm sure. Every time he wanted to breathe, he had to grind his back against that tree just to catch his breath. Now, I'm sure he had an awful stomach ache. Sure, he wanted to vomit. How could you when you're hanging like this? When you vomit, it's gross, but I mean, let's face it. You're hanging over like a sink or whatever, relieving your stomach. He couldn't. Centurion saw all this, and yet he saw Jesus in that awful condition say, forgive them. We can't forgive a small offense sometimes. We discussed this last night. It takes the grace of God for us to forgive. And Jesus looks down and says, Father, forgive them. He sees people at the foot of the cross, the scribes and the Pharisees, saying, come down from the cross, we'll believe on you. And Jesus still wouldn't come down from the cross for us. The centurion saw all this. He saw Jesus cry out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he looked at Jesus. How could a man in this condition cry out like this? And then he saw Jesus die. And he said, truly, this must be the Son of God. He acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God. That's the effect that Jesus can have on anyone's life if they let him. Some people say, oh, they want their lives to change, but they don't allow Jesus to do it. If you allow him, Jesus could change a murderer into a saint. He did it in the Bible. Moses, David, the Apostle Paul was a mass murderer. accepted Jesus, he wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. Life is a choice. In coming in contact with Jesus, Pilate stopped at a surface level. The centurion didn't. He studied Jesus intently. It is obvious that he studied Jesus intently because, as we said, how could he see a bloody, disfigured body and come to the conclusion that this is the Son of God? To what depth have we studied, known, and accepted Jesus? This goes for me too. I don't talk down to people. These messages go for me. How much time do we give to studying him and getting to know him? Will we go deeper in our study and acceptance of him? Or will we stop at a surface level? The key is in our understanding of Jesus, in our knowledge of Jesus. The more you know him, the more you will love him and accept him into your life. The more you know him, the more serious your walk with him will be. Your commitment to him will keep getting stronger. Your hunger and thirst for him will become greater. Your knowledge and acceptance of Jesus can become habit-forming. He is most definitely addicting. Jesus is an addiction, the best one you could ever have. You may have read about Jesus, but have you really studied and known him? Now we sing to him, "When I survey the wondrous cross." Survey, by definition, means to examine or look in a comprehensive way, to inspect carefully, to scrutinize, to investigate. Have we surveyed the Lord Jesus and his crucifixion? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 reads, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." How well do you or do I know Jesus this morning? You say, "Jonathan, you're saying that and you're on the altar." We could always, all of us, can know Jesus better. All of us. A knowledge of him is infinite. You may know Jesus to a certain extent, but have you had a genuine, life-changing, more than amazing experience with him? You may have been baptized in water, but how well do you know Jesus this morning? How willing are you to get to know him even better? Do you want or feel the need to have a greater experience with him, which is always possible? Do you know him to be overwhelming and mind-boggling in your life? No matter how well you think you know Jesus or how long you have been in church, you could always experience more of this life-changing, more than amazing, incomparable Christ. Do you know that you can get addicted to Jesus? The centurion was intently studying Jesus. Do we study Jesus intently? Intently means to study with purpose, to concentrate, to be engrossed. Do we study Jesus with the purpose of getting to know who he really is? In school, we make or made a major effort to study and learn our subjects that do not have the value of knowing Jesus, but we make the effort to do well in these subjects. What effort do we make in studying Jesus? At this point, we need to ask ourselves, how much time are we giving in getting to know the Lord? How much quality time do we spend with him? Is gaining knowledge of the Lord a priority in our lives? How much room and time do we make for Jesus each day? Or have the cares of this world choked out and replaced the time that we should be giving to him? Think of the quality time that Jesus gave to us, beaten, bleeding, crucified for our salvation. And certainly that is not the only time, quality time, that Jesus has given to us. Every time Jesus healed you, and met your need. He was giving quality time to you. How much time did we spend with Jesus in prayer or studying Him? We don't want to just read about the Lord. We want to intently study Him. There's so much more that we can learn and know about Jesus. What priority or value do we place on the greater knowledge and understanding of Jesus? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 reads, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." Luke chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus speaking to Martha said that time spent with Him is needed. Not just a good idea, but needed. Spending time with Jesus is certainly quality time. It is the best quality time that we could ever have. I'm sure of that. Pilate came in contact with Jesus, but made the wrong decision, the wrong choice. The centurion came in contact with Jesus, studied Him, and made the right decision, the right choice. We want to be like the centurion. At the foot of the cross, the centurion looked up into the face of Jesus. He may have seen a marred, swollen, bloody face, but he saw the Son of God. When was the last time you really looked into the face of Jesus and intently studied Him? In the hymn, The Heavenly Vision, we sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face." Do you see your indescribable Savior, Redeemer, more than amazing Son of God, the incomparable Christ, the one and only King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I'll stop there.